Did you know that there is a health condition that affects over 4.2 million Australians, but no one talks about it? It's so drenched in stigma that those suffering from it rarely discuss it even with their doctor. But this morning, we're going to bring it to light and find out more details. Dr. Samantha Pillay is a surgeon and a female urology expert, and she joins us on the phone. Doctor, good morning to you.
Good morning, Damien. Thank you for having me on your show.
Absolute pleasure. I guess, first of all, we need to find out what urology is.
Urology is one of the surgical specialties. There's lots of different ones, general surgery, vascular surgery, etc. So it's a surgical specialty of the urinary tract. So it includes the kidneys sort of downwards from the bladder and follows the path of where the urine goes and the male reproductive system.
So tell us about this condition that 4.2 million Australians aren't talking about.
Yes, I know. Urinary incontinence is steeped in stigma, and people really don't talk about it in the way that you'd think for something that's so common and can have such a dramatic impact in people's lives. Interestingly, there have been other things associated with stigma, depression and breast cancer that have been able to probably make better ground than incontinence has. A lot of people will maybe make a joke, but not talk seriously about their own personal experiences. Famous people don't come forward and talk about their experiences. People don't really share the real emotional toll that it has in their lives. And in fact, one of the studies showed that 62% haven't spoken to a health professional about it.
Wow, that is a staggering amount, isn't it?
It is.
So exactly what is urinary incontinence?
That's a good question, because a lot of people get a bit confused. Some patients I see, they'll think that it only applies to when they sort of lose the lot, so they have a big flood, and they don't count little bits of incontinence. But obviously incontinence can be infrequent or small in volume, but any incontinence is incontinence. So incontinence is where you don't have control of passing urine, and it could be even as you arrive at the toilet, in the sense that, say, for a woman, you, after you've removed your clothing, you'd sit on the toilet seat and then you'd actually voluntarily allow yourself to start passing urine. So incontinence can be as late as people are trying to sort of sit on the toilet and the urine starts coming. It can be as small as a few drops when someone coughs or sneezes. So any loss of urine that wasn't voluntary initiated is urinary incontinence.
And obviously, you know, I mean, you would be embarrassed talking to your doctor about it, though, wouldn't you?
Yes, I think people feel they try to cover it up. It may partly relate to, you know, upbringing and toilet training and what they've been, you know, people have tried to sort of use shaming techniques to get people to sort of to toilet train, or made people feel uncomfortable about their need to use a bathroom. And there's not, if there was much greater conversation, dialogue and understanding, with, as with everything, that empathy and compassion that it builds in the community, people would begin to feel a lot more comfortable about talking about it. One of my sort of passions is also health education, which I've been involved in. I've had a practice that specialises in this area, continence matters, for 19 years. So I've been working in health education. And considering that this condition is so common, it doesn't really get the recognition that it should deserve in healthcare education, you know, medicine, nursing, physiotherapy, all of these areas. It really doesn't get the attention it deserves. When you think it's more common than, you know, mental illness, diabetes, hypertension, cancer, obesity, then you realise that it's astounding that this doesn't get the same attention, not just in the community, in the media, but also in medical education. And then that level of understanding and skills in health professionals only adds to the problem when when the patient doesn't want to talk about it, and maybe the doctor doesn't want to talk about it, then the conversation doesn't really go anywhere. And it can be so embarrassing that even if a doctor asks a patient if they're incontinent, the initial reaction can sometimes be to say no, even though they are, because it's just a sort of reflex reaction when there's a stigma that they don't want to say yes. So it really is a little bit of a detective work to be able to understand your patients and understand how it's impacting them and getting them to open up when they really don't want to admit what's happening in their lives.
So if someone does have this major health problem that is, you know, and they're suffering in silence, is there something that can be done to help them?
There is a lot that can be done to help them. So there are continence nurses and physios as well as GPs that are the best first port of call rather than maybe a specialist like myself. And there are lifestyle factors. There are things people can do with their diet, their bowels, pelvic floor exercises. There's also medication and other first line of therapy that those health professionals can help with that would then determine whether or not those patients, especially if those therapies are not effective, need to then be referred to a specialist who manages a urologist who treats urinary incontinence. And the one of the, you know, distressing things about this is the ability for people to hide it and just continue to adjust their lifestyle. And because that it may not seem life-threatening, it allows it to have this sort of insidious impact on people's lives where, you know, people might not be able to exercise, they might not be able to wear different clothes, it might affect their relationships. You know, for elderly people, it can be a reason they're admitted into aged care. Their workforce participation, people will notice their ability to travel, although not so much at the moment, but, you know, if the toilet stops, they might get teased by family. If they have to stop again on the toilet, they feel embarrassed on a plane because they have to get up again to go to the toilet. Some people can feel victimised in their workplace because they need extra toilet breaks. So the impact is often underrated, and then people will slowly modify their lifestyle, what they do, where they go, what they wear, and how they behave, rather than seek treatment because of this perceived stigma, as well as a lack of understanding that there are minimally invasive therapies, that there are therapies that are effective out there. And all of this education just hasn't reached, I think, mainstream public awareness.
Certainly some interesting things that we've spoken about this morning. We appreciate your time this morning, Samantha. And obviously, if people do feel that they're suffering from this, the best first port of call is to discuss it with their GP.
Absolutely.
All right. We appreciate your time. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, thanks, Damien. Bye.
Thank you. Dr. Samantha Pillay, the surgeon, also female urology expert. And interesting, isn't it? 4.2 million Australians have this health condition. However, they don't talk about it. If you feel that you have this health condition and you are a little bit embarrassed, well, don't be. Try and make your life easier. Have a chat to your GP and they just may be able to help you out.